Radio Prague News.
High flood alert warnings have been issued for parts of northern Bohemia and Moravia. The finance minister has said he is willing to consider introducing progressive taxation on condition that the coalition partner in public affairs supports a unified VAT rate. The head of the High State Attorney's Office, Vlaskimil Rampola, has been sacked. Persistent rain throughout the country has raised the water levels of rivers in northern Bohemia and Moravia, leading the authorities to issue high alert warnings in places. The most serious conditions on Friday were registered in the regions of Liberec, Hradec Králové and Šumperk. Meteorologists expect conditions to improve later in the Jizerský and Krkonoše mountains, but to worsen elsewhere, namely in the Orlické, Jeseník and Beskid mountains in northeastern Moravia. Continued rainfall has led to the closure of several roads and bridges in Moravia. In one case, 45 children were evacuated from a summer camp, but without incident. Water breaking the banks of the Morava River, meanwhile, has led to minor local flooding. Finance Minister Miroslav Kalousek, in an interview for the Friday edition of the daily Hospodářské noviny, said that he was willing to discuss introducing progressive taxation for a limited period of time on condition that junior coalition partner Public Affairs support the introduction of a unified VAT rate of 19%. Previously, Public Affairs leadership had said that unless income is taxed progressively, they were not willing to support this step, which would put a significant burden on middle-class taxpayers and low-income groups. This is the first time that the finance minister has publicly said he was willing to consider progressive taxation. However, he added that changing the income tax rate for higher income groups was out of the question. Instead, he said, progressive taxation could be introduced by changing other parameters, such as tax breaks for lower income taxpayers. The Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil has revealed that he has honored a proposal calling for the dismissal of the head of the High State Attorney's Office, Vlaskimil Rampula. The minister told reporters on Friday that he had taken the decision a day earlier in light of actions Mr. Rampula took while in office. One was issuing an unsubstantiated order for subordinates not to appeal in an asset-stripping case involving the defunct bank IPB. Others, according to the minister, included the mismanagement of staff. The Supreme State Attorney Pavel Zeman proposed that Rampula be dismissed back in March, citing serious violations of the High State Attorney's duties. The Czech branch of Transparency International, meanwhile, had called for his dismissal, saying it was a necessary step to restore public trust in the State Attorney's office. In culture now, Serbian filmmaker and musician Emir Kusturica will perform in Prague on Friday with his band the No Smoking Orchestra. The group is headlining a festival held on the bank of the Vltava River. Other performers will include Czech singer Dan Barta. Mr. Kusturica is a graduate from the Prague Film Academy FAMU, who studied under the legendary Otakar Vavra. He is the director of a number of acclaimed films, including Underground and Time of the Gypsies. I'm Jan Vellinger. And that's all the news for now.
Hello, you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. My name is Sarah Borufka. Coming up in today's program, the Czech government coalition's right-wing parties are willing to introduce some form of progressive taxation. We have all the latest business news, and a little later in the program, we visit a new exhibition of rare 17th century Baroque prints from the Czech lands.
They can be presented only a limited time, and when they are once presented, they have to sort of rest for another 3 years.
All that and more coming up, so do stay with us. Although on Wednesday the cabinet approved a draft budget for 2012 envisaging a deficit of 105 billion crowns, the right-wing parties have not given up pushing for an alternative proposal, which would enable a more drastic reduction of the public finance deficit to 95 billion crowns. In order to give the latter proposal envisaging a unified 19% VAT rate, a new lease on life, Top 09 and the Civic Democratic Party have said they are willing to consider the Junior Party public affairs demand for progressive taxation, albeit indirectly and for a limited period of time. Radio Prague asked Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist and former finance minister Pavel Merklík what he thinks is behind the unexpected U-turn.
I think that the key problem is the Czech public finance and its development. The revenue side of the budget is developing much worse during 2011 than what was budgeted, and the reason is that the budget projection for 2011 counted with non-realistic economic growth. It believes that there will be economic growth of 2.8%, and that the private consumption will be growing by 2.3%. But in the first quarter of the year, there was a negative development of private consumption, and the whole year forecasts of today are somewhere around 2%, so much below the original government fiscal projection. So they are missing money in the state budget, and it's very probable that the situation will be difficult on the revenue side next year as well. So how I understand the last talks about the changes in the structure of taxation is that Mr. Kalousek and his party particularly wants to increase the value-added tax rate to 19%. That means from the current situation when we have 20 and 10% rates to have a uniform 19% rate already next year, which will definitely help to the revenue side. And for some political concession or compensation to the smaller coalition partner, they probably would agree with some temporary increase of degree of progression of the private personal income tax.
If they should agree on a unified 19% VAT next year, what would it do to the economy? What would be the impact on the Czech economy?
I'm quite skeptical about the outcomes. Definitely as regards the government revenues, this will help importantly. It will add another, let's say, 10 billion crowns extra revenue, at least, maybe more. On the other hand, it will also mean increased public expenditures, because the prices of foodstuff particularly and other basic needs will be elevated, and it will mean that many people will cross various thresholds which exist in the legislation, and they will now become eligible for getting various forms of welfare benefits, which they were not taking so far. So as a consequence, also on the expenditure side, there will be quite a remarkable increase, and according to some estimates which we have, it can be roughly half of the extra revenue which will the government get on the revenue side. So it's not easy, and certainly it will importantly worsen the situation of a big part of the families in the Czech Republic which are not far from the poverty threshold. In the Czech Republic, the people which are below poverty threshold, it's a very low figure. It's the lowest in Europe, actually. It's something like 10% of population. But there is quite strong number of people which are not far from the poverty threshold on the upper side, and it's very probable that they will fall down below it, and they will become, as I said, to be eligible to get government support. And in the end of the day, certainly the division of the or distribution of the tax burden will, by this development, be moved again to the lower groups of the income stratification of the population.
And what would a 19% VAT and progressive taxation do to the country's economic growth?
Definitely, it will not support economic growth in 2012. From longer-term perspective, it will be probably neutral, but for first 1 and 2 years, it will be quite negative.
So you would not advise this alternative? You would prefer the more moderate increase to 14%, which was approved on Wednesday. Is that correct, then?
That's correct, and also I think there are generally good opportunities for the government to cut some expenditures which are apparently ineffective. general level of taxation in the Czech Republic is currently something like 33-34% of GDP, and I'm pretty sure that for the time being it is appropriate, it's not necessary to have it higher. The problem is particularly on the expenditure side, where things like appropriate public procurement, reduction of corruption, and some review of various expenditure programs can help a lot. The government is simply wasting money in many areas.
Raiffeisen Bank's chief economist and former finance minister Pavel Mertlík was speaking there to Daniela Lazarova. Thank you, Daniela. And now I am joined in the studio by Christian Falvey for this week's business news.
The Czech Finance Ministry has improved the country's economic growth outlook for this year and the next by 2.5%. Previously, the ministry estimated growth of 1.9% this year and 2.3% in 2012. The new macroeconomic forecast published by the Czech press agency expects much better results arising from auspicious developments in the first quarter of 2011. The forecast again puts the positive estimates down to foreign trade primarily. Industry and transport unions are skeptical, however, and say the ministry's outlook does not take sufficient account of the deceleration of the U.S. and Japanese economies and seems to rely on favorable numbers in the German economy. The Czech National Bank lowered its own prognosis in May, expecting GDP growth of 1.5% this year and 2.8% in the next. Its new prognosis will be published on August 8th.
ECM Real Estate Investments went officially bankrupt this week after a meeting of creditors on Wednesday. The company, known in the Czech Republic mainly for its high-rise projects in Prague's Pankrác district, has 15 days to appeal and is reportedly considering that option. Creditors are claiming 9.5 billion from the firm, of which the bankruptcy trustee has recognized nearly 2 billion. Investment managers Aston Capital Management are claiming 3.1 billion crowns on behalf of bond owners. However, neither the meeting of creditors nor the court has recognized that claim due to material and legal disputes. The trustee may now decide whether or not to continue in the company's activities or prepare for property liquidation, which could mean the sale of the company as a whole or in part.
Fitch Ratings Agency reports that the banking situation in Central and Eastern Europe has gradually stabilized since the global financial crisis in terms of credit parameters, with the share of bad loans on most of the markets having peaked already. In its special report on the banking sector in Central Europe and the Balkans, Fitch says the credit profiles of the majority of Czech, Polish, and Slovak banks are considerably stronger than elsewhere, with better financing profiles, less foreign exchange credit, better quality of assets, and a higher level of economic development in general. The report goes on to note that considerable structural problems remain, particularly with regards to the reliance on financing from foreign parent banks and an excessive amount of loans in foreign currencies on many markets.
Forbes magazine is coming to the Czech Republic with its first Czech language issue to go to press in November. In cooperation with the Czech branch of business consulting and media, Forbes Media is planning each issue to have 60% localized material from Czech economics and business news and 40% borrowed from the American edition. The monthly's editorial board will be run by Petr Šimůnek, former editor-in-chief of the business daily Hospodářské noviny, who says the new publication will provide what the Czech market lacks, which is emphasis on proper fundamental analysis. The publishers hope to repeat the success they have enjoyed in Slovakia, where Forbes came out at the end of 2010 and sold nearly 11,000 copies in April alone.
Another Slovak startup moving westwards is Zuno Bank, which opened its virtual doors this week to customers in the Czech Republic. The online bank, with only one real-world office at Prague's Wenceslas Square, is enticing new clients with the offer of free basic accounts, daily interest on savings, and higher interest on time deposits. A part of Raiffeisen Bank International, Zuno has acquired some 18,000 clients since starting business in Slovakia at the end of last year, and deposits of more than 3 billion crowns. The bank says its target group is people who want to communicate with the bank primarily via the internet. Next year, it is planning on extending its activities to Hungary and Poland.
This week's business news brought to you by Christian Favi. It's time now for a new edition of The Arts, where Jan Willinger talks to the author of an exhibition that just opened about the symbolism and meanings of rare 17th century Bohemian prints.
A new exhibition entitled A Hidden Face of Baroque opened on Thursday at the National Gallery's Kinsky Palace in Prague. The show allows visitors a chance to view rare 17th century prints historically tied to the lands of Bohemia, Moravia, and Silesia. Many are faithful renderings of works by early Baroque painters, such as Karel Škréta, expertly reproduced by engravers both in Bohemia as well as in neighboring Germany, especially Augsburg, renowned for printmaking at that time. The exhibition highlights all of the dramatic grandeur, symbolism, and allegory typical of the Baroque style. Petra Zelenková is a specialist in the Baroque period, as well as the show's author, and she told me more about the exhibition this week.
The basic aim was to present the main personalities, topics, and fields of the 17th century print in Bohemian lands, and to present it in bigger perspective. That means not just the engravers who were settled in Bohemian lands, but also German engravers, mostly German, because Germany and especially Augsburg was the center of contemporary graphic production. And these engravers were producing designs which invented the designers or painters settled in Bohemia, Moravia, Silesia. For example, Karel Škréta was absolutely excellent designer of prints, and he was at least middle European famous. Mm-hmm.
Who are some of the other names?
In Moravia, it was Anton Lublinsky. He's not so much known today, but he was the basic personality of early Baroque art, painting and drawing in Moravia, especially Olomouc. And he designed many, many thesis prints. And in Silesia, for example, Michal Willmann. But there were many, I would say, very well-skilled designers, especially in Prague, who are completely forgotten today because they were also painters and their paintings were lost during centuries. So now we can recognize them only through these prints made after their design. So that's also one of the role why the graphic is important for us. Not just the artistic impression, but also the information which it can give to us today.
During the Baroque period, elements of opulence were important, drama. Are these elements that come across in these prints as well?
That was, I would say, one of our aims, to show the most typic faces of Baroque prints of the 17th century. So you can see many of these dramatic or opulent or iconographically rich scenes, which really impress, like drama, how you mentioned.
Historically, this was embraced by the Catholic Church as a means of spreading the word?
That was because the graphic art or prints were the main medium of information. So it was also very important for presentation of personalities, ideas. So therefore, it's so rich to have bigger impact, to impress, to have show.
If I may, what are some of the more dramatic or significant images that are included in this show?
So most remarkable are so-called thesis prints, which is some very specific sort of Baroque print. And they were like large-scale announcements of university disputation, which were made for some university degree. And these thesis prints, the images of these thesis prints were really huge glorification of patrons of the student who defended. And the patron paid part of the costs, and it was great field for him for some self-presentation.
And it was important, of course, to also show who the patron was,
exactly,
who had helped the person through their studies.
because these thesis prints were hung on the walls or on the doors of churches. They were sent like some invitation card during the disputation, which were in that time very like festive, you know, with music. The thesis prints were hung there, so it was really like some advertisement, I would say.
If you had a student who was defending their thesis, was completing their university studies, would they or their family commission a well-known artist to make it? Was that important as well?
If the student was rich or from some noble family, he could pay it. You know, he could pay this costly thesis prints. But still, I think this is not all clear at the moment, because thesis prints, it's some topic which is not well researched. But if he dedicated to emperor, so it's clear like the student or his family paid that, because it was some like presentation of family which emperor could see, so of course they could like step higher in some
social or political spheres.
Yeah, exactly, thanks. But with some pure students, they have two options, either to find really like some patron who would pay everything for the thesis print, or they can join in some group of students and they pay together the thesis print. And then the topic or theme was more like universal, usually some saint.
If we come back to the elements that are typical of Baroque, I read that even for this exhibition in Prague, that there are notes to aid the viewer in understanding the story that's being told, because there is a symbolism or an allegory that we may not be familiar with today.
There are still many hidden symbols, allegories, personalities. It's really to explain, for example, one of the thesis prints in detail, it would be one like some article for 5-6 pages, because it's so sophisticated. The students gave so much time and wisdom and skills to make like some sophisticated program. But we at least try to give some like main idea what's going about, because it wasn't possible to explain all the symbols.
Even if it's difficult, could you tell me, say, one example where the viewer should take special notice of some detail or some symbol?
Yeah, one motif is, for example, quite typical, and that is to using some figures from coat of arms. And these figures are set into the composition. For example, you have family of Stenberg, Count of Stenberg, so they have in coat of arm 8-point star. So you can see in some prints this star is there in more meanings, more details, and that was very much used. For example, family Kolovrat has wheel in coat of arms. So of course the wheel is appearing in prints which are dedicated to the family of Kolovrat, and many more of these examples. Yeah, they are more like message, or they have to be read. You have to use contemporary source, like some iconographical books, or sometimes the programs or content of the prints is so specific, you have to go to some books or manuscript.
And primarily, which were the institutions which lent prints for this exhibition?
On the first place, I would mention the Strahov canonry or monastery, Strahov library, which we are very grateful. They loaned many nice or interesting prints and books, because they have great library. National Library, of course, with their unique collection of thesis prints. Private collectors who have some very interesting prints. Let me think, I shouldn't forget anyone. Chateau Mikulov Library, National Archive, Archive of Prague University, and of course our collection of prints and drawings of the National Gallery in Prague.
What do you hope that viewers will take away most from this exhibition?
I hope they will take like some more global view or understanding about the richness of the prints of Baroque, you know. That was the main aim, like just to provide some insight in this very wide field, which is hidden in depositories, in libraries. And I didn't mention, but the artworks on paper are very sensitive to temperature, to the moisture, so they can be presented only a limited time. And when they are once presented, they have to sort of rest for another 3 years. So also, therefore, it's hidden.
The author of A Hidden Face of Baroque, Petra Zelenkova, ends that edition of The Arts. For anyone interested in the show, it continues until mid-October. We are now rounding off a regular weekday program with Soundcheck, our popular Czech language learning program, brought to you this time by Jan Richter.
Hello and welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's very own language program, where you can learn some interesting phrases and enjoy some interesting music. Today we'll hear the song Pět policajtů, or Five Policemen, by the band Jablkoň. The song was featured on their 1999 album Bláznivá, and the phrase to listen for is Mít všech pět pohromadě.
Protože já mám v hlavě pohromadě všech pět.
Volává mě něco, co přistojí za...
In this song, the phrase runs Já mám v hlavě pohromadě všech pět, which translates as I have all five together in my head. The most usual form, however, is Nemá všech pět pohromadě, or he or she hasn't got all five together. The expression is used to suggest that the person is somewhat short of a picnic, or that the lights are on but nobody's home. In short, a person who is not necessarily dim-witted, but a little strange all the same. Have another listen.
Protože já mám v hlavě pohromadě všech pět.
The phrase is quite frequently used in everyday Czech, although perhaps only few people realize the origin of the expression. The phrase mít všech pět pohromadě, to have all five together, refers to the five senses of the human body. The band Jablkoň in fact employs the phrase in its original context, referring to them as the five policemen. They add another on top of that, the brain, which they call a customer's officer.
Pět policajtů okamžitě chází do domu a už mě zase vedou zpátky k rozumu.
Volává mě něco, co přistojí za...
If you want to say that someone hasn't got all five together, that is, nemá všech pět pohromadě, you can also note that he is missing a few screws, or má o kolečko míň, literally, he's got a cogwheel less. Or you might want to observe that he's wired up wrong, má dlouhé vedení, although the Czech phrase in fact says that his wires are too long.
Pět policajtů okamžitě chází do domu a už mě zase vedou zpátky k rozumu.
The song by Jablkoň is about a man whom the five policemen would not leave alone. In the end, the song says that they bring him to reason or knock some sense into him, přivedou ho k rozumu. And that's it for this edition of Soundcheck. I hope that wherever you are, you've got all five together.
Pět policajtů procitá a hned se vrací zpět. A tak mám zase v hlavě pohromadě všech pět.
Volává mě něco, co přistojí za to. Ale pak to mám uslyšet, když slyším jen ticho. Chtěl bych mít to něco, co přistojí za to. Ale pak to mám uchopit, když nemá to ucho.
Jan Richter with Soundcheck. They are wrapping up Radio Prague's English show for today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from me, Sarah Borufka, and from all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you so much for listening, and goodbye.